Today I want to talk about growing in faith. Growing in faith. You know, it takes faith and trust to build a relationship with God, just as it takes trust to build a human relationship. How many here have a good friend? Human being, a person. All right, and you're developing that relationship, right? Maybe it's a best friend. What does it take to develop that relationship with that friend, with that person? Communication, it takes trust. It's the same way with God. To build our relationship with God, we've got to have trust. We have got to have faith in God. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 2 if you have a Bible. I'm going to read here a few verses. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Luke 2, verses 8 through 10. Jesus had been born. And it says in verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were struck with fear. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." A lot of people use this passage, these scriptures, in Christmas messages. But we're going to talk about this today. So these shepherds, innocent, humble shepherds, tending their flocks at night, just doing what their calling was, what their job was, tending their flocks. And all at once, an angel of God appears to them, and they were struck with fear. Who knows what was going through the minds of the shepherds? They might have been thinking, were we at the wrong place at the wrong time? What did we do? And they were struck with fear. And then the angel of the Lord says to them, "Do not be afraid." All kinds of thoughts were going through the minds of these shepherds. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that you might be like these shepherds. Maybe you've received an unexpected visit. Maybe an unexpected reports. Maybe you've seen something in the media. Maybe you've read some bad news in a newspaper, on the internet, and your mind keeps thinking about it over and over and over and over again. You're focused on this negative detail. When you focus on that negative detail and you think about it over and over and over again, that's worry. And fear tries to grip your heart. Maybe it's an unexpected loss, whatever it might be. And, you know, fear is not of God. Worry and fear is of the devil, a tormenting fear that keeps you up at night, that causes you not to sleep. That's not of God. That's of the devil. When you think of the word fear, F-E-A-R, think of this: false expectations appearing real. Fear, F-E-A-R, false expectations appearing real. Real. You know, a lot of what people fear, a lot of what you fear, a lot of what keeps you up at night will never come to pass. I've heard it said that 90% of the things that people fear about never materialize. It's a time waster. It's robbing you of mental energy. It's the devil's trick to rob you in so many ways. Now, a little story here. It's called The Rope. The Rope. And it says, a story is told about a mountain climber who liked to climb tall mountains for fun and to impress his friends. After years of preparation and training, he felt he could handle any mountain terrain in the world, regardless of the degree of difficulty. During a climbing trip with five other men, he decided he would make the final climb to the summit solo so he could get there first and claim the glory while others slept. After the rest of the climbing party turned in for the night, he put on his climbing gear and headed towards the summit. As he started his climb, he was very glad there was a full moon to help him see where he was going. Although it was foolish to climb at night alone, he did use a rope and put in good Python protection as he climbed. With the benefit of the full moon, he made rapid progress up the mountain in spite of the fact he was climbing at night. His confidence soared as he neared the summit, but unfortunately, thick clouds were starting to build around the mountain, and visibility was deteriorating rapidly as a winter storm developed. In just a few minutes, visibility dropped to almost zero as heavy clouds and fog surrounded him. It was not too late to turn back, so he continued to climb up the mountain, hoping the storm would blow by quickly. While moving along a narrow traverse, now in total darkness, he got into some rotten rock and slid down the side of the ridge and over the edge of the cliff. The good news is the protection he put in held, and he was still alive after the fall, although he now found himself dangling in the air, suspended from his rope, unable to see anything around him. The bad news is he had loosely tied his outer heavy parka across the top of his backpack while he was climbing, and he now discovered he had lost it during the fall. Slowly, the cold night air from the storm began to chill him to the bone through his lightweight inner jacket. After struggling to turn himself around in a circle and not finding anything to grab onto, in desperation he cried out, "Oh dear God in heaven, please help me." Suddenly from above he heard a strong, deep voice boom out, "Cut the rope." "What?" As the climber listened over the wind, once again he heard a deep voice say, "Cut the rope." Except for the wind, silence followed as the climber continued to hang onto the rope, while hoping to be able to grab onto something that would enable him to climb to safety. Unable to see his true situation, the climber concluded, as most people would, that hanging onto the rope was his only hope. The following day, the rest of his climbing party discovered him frozen to death, still dangling from his rope, only 8 feet above a large outcropping of rock. Had the climber cut the rope, he would have dropped down to a relatively safe area where he could have built a fire using some of the surrounding scrub brush and probably survived the night. From this tragic, hopefully fictional story, we can learn about trusting God. Do you look for security in a rope of some form, or are you willing to trust God with the many things in life beyond your knowledge or control? Remember this, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Are you holding on to some rope today? You see, fear caused this mountain climber in this story to lose out, right? What did he lose? He lost his what? He lost his life. He thought that if he had cut the rope, he was going to die. But the opposite was true. He would have saved his life. And he ended up getting the very thing he was fearing. "Man, if I cut this rope, I am going to die." And that's what fear does. Fear expects the worst possible end result. And this mountain climber was expecting what? He was expecting that if he cut the rope, he would have lost his life physically. And the sad news is this, is that he did. He received the very thing he was expecting. Isn't that sad? What does the Word of God say in 2 Timothy 1:7? 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." Tormenting fear, friend, does not come from God. It originates in the enemy, in the devil. God is the author of what? He's not the author of fear. God is the author of... He's the author of what? He's the author of faith. And faith comes from God. Faith is a trust in God beyond any human understanding. You see, whereas fear expects the worst possible end result, what does faith expect? Whereas fear expects the worst end possible result, what does faith expect?
The best outcome.
Faith expects the best possible end result. Exactly. Say it with me. Faith expects the best and possible result. In Jesus' name. You can take God at His written word. Now listen to this from D.L. Moody. Quote from D.L. Moody. This is what he says. "Some say that faith is the gift of God. So is the air, but you have to breathe it. So is bread, but you have to eat it. Some are wanting some miraculous kind of feeling. That's not faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," Romans 10:17. "That is whence faith comes. It is not for me to sit down and wait for faith to come stealing over me with strong sensation, but it is for me to take God at His word." Faith is taking God at His written word. Word. And that's why we have Bibles for you today. Because in the Word of God, from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, you will find promises of God. You will see the miracle working God in action from Genesis to Revelation. The same God who did it for the people in the Bible is the same God who can do it for you. Do you agree with that? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Faith expects the best possible end result. You got to take God at His word. Now, two little girls. Another little story here I've got for you. Two little girls. Listen to this. Two little girls were counting their pennies. One said, "I have 5 pennies. The other said, "No, I have 10. "No," said the first little girl, "you have just 5 cents, the same as I have." But the second child quickly replied, "My father said that when he came home tonight, he would give me 5 cents. And so I have 10 cents. The child's faith gave her proof of that which she did not yet see, and she counted it because it had been promised by her father. Amen. Isn't that childlike faith? Believing in those things that you cannot see with your eyes physically. Isn't that good? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to turn there. Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to turn, you can turn. It's the faith chapter. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Verse 6 is another big one. The one thing that pleases God is what?
Faith,
exactly. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anybody who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So if it's impossible to please God without faith, what does that say to you and me? That with faith, it is possible to do what? It is possible to please God. You can take God at His word, just like this one little girl took her dad at his word that he would give her 5 cents later on that night. She only had 5 cents in her hand, but her dad promised her 5 cents more. And she counted it as 10 cents that she had to her name. She took her dad at his word. You've got to take your heavenly dad at his word, at his written word. But you've got to be in the word of God to take him at his word. You've got to know what the word of God has in it. It's not good to read God's word just once in a blue moon. Maybe once a month. Well, I read the Word of God once a month, or I read the Word of God at Christmas time, or I read it during Easter. No, that's not enough, friend. You've got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis. 7 days a week. You may not be able to read a lot, but read a scripture or two from the Bible each and every single day. Amen?
Amen.
The Word of God is your spiritual food. How many here like to have breakfast once a month? How many like oatmeal or, you know, bacon and eggs just once a month? Biscuits and gravy, whatever it might be, just once a month or twice a month. No, right? How many here like to eat breakfast every single day? If that's you, raise your hand, right? Because what does breakfast do? They say it's the most important meal of the day. Breakfast does what for your body? It gives your body physical energy for the day's demands. And the Word of God is like your spiritual breakfast. As you get into the Word of God, it gives you strength. It increases your faith in God. It shows you that the God who did miracles in the Old Testament, the Jesus who did miracles in the New Testament, is the same God who can do it for you thousands of years later. What does the Word of God say about Jesus in Hebrews 13? It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It also says in Hebrews that Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and Jesus is the exact representation of God's being, what does that say about God the Father? That God is the same how? When?
Now.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? The God who did it way back when is the God who wants to do it for you today. The God who did a miracle in your life a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, is the God who can do it for you today. Don't remember the good. Don't forget the good thing that happened in your past. The good thing that happened in your past came from the hand of God. If he did it 6 months ago, or a month ago, or 5 years ago, he can do it for you again today because he never changes. Amen?
Amen?
So my question to you is this. How do you increase your faith in God? How do you increase your faith in God? Remember this. Faith is the thing that God honors. Say it with me. Faith is what God honors. Now, listen to this. Faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside that what God has promised you through his written word, he can do for you. That what God has promised you in your own personal life, he can do for you. He is the miracle working God. Nothing is impossible with him. Amen?
Amen.
You got to take him at his word and you've got to have a persevering faith. Not a faith that just believes for a week or a month and then gives up. You've got to have a faith that does not quit. Say it with me today. A no-quitting faith. In Jesus' name. Friend, you've got to keep on believing on. Like the energized bunny, it doesn't give up. It just keeps on going. Your faith in God has got to keep on going. Don't give up on the promise that God has given to you. Now, how to increase your faith in God? How do you do it? We talked about it just a minute ago. How do you increase your faith in God? Or how does your faith in God increase? Because it's as your trust and faith in God increases that your relationship with God is built. So how do you increase your faith in God? How do you stabilize, strengthen your faith in the Almighty God? How is it? Anybody? He says trust. Anybody else?
By his word.
By his word. Okay, remember this. Remember the good he did for you in the past. And think about this. Why wouldn't he do it again for you today? Remember the good he did for you in the past. And why would he not do it again for you today? Think back to that good thing that happened to you in the past. It came from God. The God that did it then for you can do it today. Maybe it was $100 that you needed in the past to pay a bill. And it was provided. That came from the hand of God. And maybe today you need $1,000 to pay a bill. Guess what? The same God who provided you the $100 way back when is the same God who can provide you the $1,000 today. Remember back when you needed that job for $5 or $6 an hour. And it was given to you. That came from the hand of God. And maybe today you're needing a job of $10, $11, or $12 an hour. Remember this. When you got that job way back when for $5 or $6 an hour, the same God who did it for you back then is the same God who can give you a job today. Amen?
Amen.
We've got to remember the good deeds, the good miracles of God in our lives in the past. And we've got to remember that the God who did it then for me is going to do it today because he never changes. Say it with me. God never changes. He is always the same. In Jesus' name. Whatever it might be in your life. Maybe it was a relationship that you needed in the past. And that person came into your life. They helped build you up spiritually. But maybe that person has left your life. And today you find yourself lonely and you need another relationship, a friend in your life, somebody you can confide in. Well, remember this. The God who did it for you in the past, way back when, is the same God who can do it for you today. On July 25th, 2011 and forward. Is that good news? Remember the good that God has done for you in the past and let that be your stabilizing force. Let that be the thing you depend on. Man, God did it for me in the past. If he did it for me in the past and he never changes, he is going to do it for me again today and in the future. I trust in my God. He's not going to let me down. I can take him at his word. Is that good? All right. Remember the good God did for those in the Bible. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Remember the good, the miracles God did for those in the Bible. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 47. It's an account of blind Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 47. And it says this. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." So people around him rebuked him. They told him to keep quiet, and he yelled even the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped, called him, and he said, "Up on your feet." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling to you." He threw his cloak aside, jumped to his feet, came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now the key verse is this. Verse 47 of Mark chapter 10. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Isn't that interesting? When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. What does that say to me and you when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth?
He confessed him as Messiah.
Okay, anybody else? It says when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. It was as if blind Bartimaeus had this knowledge that Jesus, in the recent past, had healed other people. He knew that Jesus was the miracle-working God. He knew that he was God, the Son of the flesh, who did miracles. He knew about it. And now he's like, man, this Jesus, the miracle-working God, is in my presence. And he began to shout. This man was doing what? What was blind Bartimaeus doing? As I was talking to you just a few minutes ago, what was blind Bartimaeus doing concerning increasing his faith in God? He was remembering the good Jesus did for others. He knew about the good that Jesus did for others. That's the only way we can read 47, where it says that he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He had some knowledge of Jesus. He knew that Jesus was the miracle worker. And he was probably thinking, man, if Jesus did miracles for people around me, that same Jesus can do it for me. Because he is no respecter of persons. Blind Bartimaeus was remembering the good Jesus did for others. And because he was remembering the good Jesus was doing for others, he had faith that Jesus, that God, could do it for him. Amen? Amen. We've got to be like blind Bartimaeus. We've got to remember the good that God has done for us in the past. We've got to remember the good that God did for those in the Bible. And if God did it for them, same mindset as blind Bartimaeus, he can do it for me. Say it with me. If God did it for them, did it for me in the past, he can do it again for me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Bartimaeus had this knowledge of Jesus. We gain our knowledge of God, our knowledge of Jesus, by reading the Word, by prayer, intimacy, getting to know the heart of God. I'd like to go over another account, the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. If you read that account, Mark 5, 25 through 34, we're going to close it here in just a minute. This woman also had knowledge, as you read this passage, that Jesus was the miracle-working God. And she thought to herself, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, my bleeding will stop. And in faith, she stretched out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And her bleeding stopped. She had knowledge of Jesus. In her mind, she was probably thinking, the Jesus who did it for people around me, the Jesus who did miracles for people around my vicinity, is the same Jesus who can do it for me. If he did it for them, he can do it for me. And that woman was healed. Doctors could not heal her. She spent all she had on doctors. But Jesus is the miracle-working physician. He dried up her bleeding. She was healed. That's how we increase in our faith in God, friend. Remember the little things God has done for you in the past. The $100 miracles, the $50 miracles, the $25 miracles. And if he did it for you then, he can do it for you today, same size and even bigger. The God who healed you of a cold a year ago is the God who could heal you of the flu today. Is the God who could heal you of heart disease today. Is the God who could heal you of high blood pressure today. He wants to do the same miracles in your life today and even greater. And so when that greater mountain appears in your life and God helps move it out of your way, you can have faith in the future for even a greater mountain yet to be moved out of your path. Is that making sense? Growing in faith in God.